right, welcome back to Book Club. Today is day 28. We have only a few days left, which is pretty crazy, but very exciting. And so here on the first page, 153 of day 28, we have, do you not know that bombs kill men? Or do you not realize that the patient's death at this moment is precisely what we want to avoid? Now, this is something that we mentioned way early on when the war first started. We talked about this, that he says on 154. He says, they, of course, do tend to regard death as the prime evil and survival as the greatest good, because that is how we taught them, because we taught them to do so. Do not let us be infected by our own propaganda. I said this at the very beginning, that it's one of those things when you see somebody who's young and faithful and their life comes to a tragic end, that in this weird kind of cynical, almost feels like you can't even say this, but there is something that is beautiful about that. If they died in a state of grace and they're holy and faithful and all these types of things. I mean, we see this like increase of saints and blesseds who died young in the last 150 years. I think of Carlo Acutis, think of Pier Giorgio Frassati, right? There's like lots of younger saints that are coming about. And I think that this chapter really dives into why that is. The devils do not want us to die in a state of grace. They want us to die close to God. And if we are young and faithful, they actually want us to live a long life, right? They actually want us to live a long life, because they say, as you see here on the top of 155, the long, dull, monotonous years of middle-aged prosperity or middle-aged adversity are excellent campaigning weather. You see, it is so hard for these creatures to persevere, right? So he gives you basically two different options there, middle-aged prosperity or middle-aged adversity. But saying, like, we have these long, dull years where you get in this kind of monotony of regular life. Eventually they settle down, they get married, they're raising kids. And it's like, in doing all that, maybe we can busy them. We'll try all these different things. They have all these different strategies and techniques, tactics that they're going to try to use to pull you away from God over the years throughout your life. And so knowing that is obviously really helpful. We know that they're trying to do this. We know that they're planning on doing this. And we want to avoid that. We want to avoid whether we find ourselves in prosperity or adversity, right? So it says through adversity, I think it's pretty obvious that when you're going through difficult times, if you experience tragedy as a family, whatever it may be, that it's difficult for us to persevere in that. Kind of like what I talked about yesterday when it comes to prayer. Are you interpreting these things from the aspect of faith, or are you interpreting them more and more from the perspective of the world, right? And actually starting to make God kind of a villain, or not wanting to serve him anymore, not wanting to go to mass. Eventually people, you know, very often fall away from the faith throughout their lives. Kids start playing sports, get into high school, whatever, busyness, things pick up, you know what I mean? Prosperity, on the other hand, is a different approach. So he says that prosperity knits a man to the world. I thought that was really interesting. I sat with that line for a couple minutes just thinking about that. Prosperity knits a man to the world. Now, prosperity in and of itself is not bad, right? We don't believe as a church that being rich is inherently evil, that being successful is inherently evil. I obviously advocate for the opposite as far as pursuing excellence in your professional life, whether you be a teacher or a business person or whatever. I think we ought to do everything with excellence. And a lot of times, if you're in certain fields, that's going to lead to some prosperity, right? You live in the United States of America, if you're excellent at your job, and you're doing something that can make a good living, then you're going to make a good amount of money. What we have to be weary of is knitting ourselves to the world, right? Conjoining ourselves to the world. It says he feels that he is finding his place in the world, or really it's finding his place in him. So it can feel like we're out there making it, we're dominating the world, while really what's happening when we get more and more materialistic, when we get more attached to things than we do to God, what's happening is the world's finding its place in us. We're not dominating and overcoming the world. The world's actually dominating and overcoming us. He is increasing his increasing reputation, his widening circle of acquaintances, his sense of importance, the growing pressure of absorbing and agreeable work build up in him a sense of being really at home in earth, which is just what we want. So think about all of those things, the reputation, the getting to know more and more people, your sense of importance, all of that. We don't want that to feel like it's creating this home on earth, right? Goes back to what we talked about before, this kind of fear of dying. He says next after this that you'll notice that the young are generally less unwilling to die than the middle age and the old. So the young are more willing to die. You see a lot of men rushing off to war and things like that. Why? Because they haven't made these deep and strong attachments to the world, right? Young faithful people especially, but young people kind of in general are not as clinging to the world, to worldly things. And so when you have this comfort, when you've made the world your home and a good home here, which I think the devil is oftentimes very happy to give us, we see that we end up really fearing death, right? We fear losing all this stuff. The quote, you know, that you can't take it with you after you die, no matter how much money you make or things you accumulate throughout your life here on earth, you can't take it with you. And so letting go of that stuff, of the relationships we have here, when you don't have a strong relationship with God, death does seem very daunting. It can seem like a very negative thing. So we want to keep that in mind, and we don't want to fall into that trap of being so attached to the world that we actually view going to heaven as, you know, a downgrade, right? I think there are people who actually find themselves thinking that. And so we don't want to have that. Best way to avoid that is to have a profound relationship with God, to not be clinging to the things of this world, to get rid of some of the stuff, even some of the things that are painful. I think of this every time I get rid of clothes and other crap that I have. That's just like, okay, it's time to donate some things, right? We have too much stuff. We have a fairly big house and we own a lot of things. It's time to get rid of some stuff, right? We all know that experience. So maybe take some time to do that this week. Maybe take some time tonight to think about a couple things you could give away, even things that you like or appreciate or enjoy, but you just don't feel like you actually need that. You don't actually need to be happy. So let's think about that. Let's declutter our lives a little bit and really make sure that we're making time for God. You can especially get rid of the things that are keeping you from God. We see that obviously in the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew 5 and 6. 5 through 7 is the whole Sermon on the Mount, but I think it's chapter 5 where he says, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and throw it away. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better to enter into heaven dismembered than to enter your whole body into hell. And so think about that. I mean, when it comes to a materialistic thing, right? An inanimate object here on earth, it's better to enter into heaven without your TV, without your smartphone, without your laptop, whatever it might be, right? That's kind of keeping you away from God, without your Xbox or PlayStation, than it is to enter heaven having had it on earth. You're not even able to take it with you. So it's even dumber, right? At least your body part you can take with you, which is why Jesus used that as an example. So physical things you can't even take with you, it's definitely better to go to heaven without it than it is to go with hell, to hell without it. So let's keep that in mind and keep our priorities straight. All right, my friend. God bless you. We'll see you next time.